If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
People don't do business with a logo. They do business with a person. So really, any industry that you're in, you really benefit so much from having your own point of differentiation.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Today's guest is Tanya Eberhardt and Michael Carr. Today is the first day I've actually interviewed two people at once, so this is kind of fun. It's a little bit different, but just a little background on Tanya. She is the founder of Brandface and branding agent to business stars. After two decades of many successful brands, she founded Brandface, a personal branding firm consisting of a book series, speaking series, and personal branding program that is designed to help real estate agents differentiate themselves. Michael Carr, on the other hand, is America's top-selling real estate auctioneer and the Abundant Life broker. During his 28 years of experience, he's been actively involved in over, wait for this, 78,000 transactions and licensed in as many as 31 states in the continental U.S. Michael was actually a client of Tanya's in 2013 when he put her exclusive personal branding concepts to work in his own brokerage, and as a result, his real estate business quadrupled over the next year and continues to grow in both recognition and revenue. Tanya and Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. So nice to be on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Oh, this is great. This is great. This is the first time I've interviewed two people at once. And so, you know, I'll just have to kind of get used to this as we move along. But I'd really love to hear kind of what you guys do as it pertains to us as real estate investors. And how you guys work alongside of us to really improve, you know, our image, what we do on the branding side of things. Talk us through your company, kind of how you founded it. Michael, how you got involved. I'd love to kind of just hear all of that if we can, you know, unpack some of that.
Sure.
You bet. You bet. I'll start with kind of what we do to help the investor industry. And then Michael can pick up with how we got involved. Okay, so we do personal branding. We do some for residential real estate agents and brokers and teams, but we also do real estate branding for investors and developers. And the reason for that is, you know, business is a person-to-person business. As it says on the back of all our books, people don't do business with a logo, they do business with a person. So really, any industry that you're in, you really benefit so much from having your own point of differentiation fully developed. You know, we will talk about this as we move forward, but we have a three-step process called define, develop, and display when it comes to your personal brand. But that's really what we do. We help you become stronger in your industry and market in terms of your own point of differentiation, helping you match up perfectly with the right partners, with the right customers, so to speak. And thus eliminating a lot of the wasted time and effort, right? So when you position yourself properly in the very beginning, that helps you tremendously to attract the right type of business and the right type of partners.
What are some of the ways that we go about doing that?
That's where that three-step process comes in, Sam. And it's something that we've been working on for a long time. And I'm going to simplify it to say it's define, develop, and display. And so we'll kind of switch that off. So in the define phase, we're taking a look at who are the ideal customers or partners and so forth and deals that you want to accomplish as an investor. So when you determine that, you know, because that's a lot of where the waste is. You don't want to connect with a bunch of people and go seek deals that are not going to be ideal for you. So you got to know what it is you're after when you come into it. So once we define that, then we take a look at, you know, what is your point of differentiation in this space? Why does somebody want to partner up with you or help you find deals or things that are unique to, you know, what are those things unique to you? And how is that going to help you develop the right partnerships and deals? So we kind of start there, developing what we call a brand identifier, which is really just a tagline or a slogan that sets the tone and direction for that brand moving forward. So you know you want to be known as the blank investor, the blank developer, right? In some sense, you know, I'm simplifying it a lot, but you want to really be known for something or stand for something.
And, you know, Sam, I think that's really important because, you know, if you want to be first in on the investment opportunities, you want people to know that that's what you do, right? And so it's very important to get known in your space so people say, hey, just remember to call Sam on this particular type of commercial property or this particular property or this type of investment. You want that because you want people to remember you in that space. We talk to investors and a lot of times they'll say, well, what I do is just a lot of research and I find the properties and identify them and I find the funding and it's the numbers game and that sort of thing. But we forget the fact that we really need to be remembered that because everybody that knows that's what we do are our tentacles to call us or to tell a friend, hey, well, call Sam on this property. You know, you want to get rid of this property, call this. This is the hole you go to, you know, for that type of investment. And I think it's really important that investors also do the same thing as any other real estate agent or broker or entrepreneur or plumber or anything else, because that's our craft. That's what we do. So right. after we define what that is that separates you, give you that identifier that sort of puts the sparkle on it and the shiny, if you will, well, then we help you develop it out. So when people come to research you, they find out, okay, what's your worthiness on this? Is this the type of person I want to come along and do business with? Is this the type of person that's trustworthy? How fast will they move? Are they going to tie up my property? Like, we can identify all of that inside the development phase to really help those prospects move along a little faster.
And we do that through, what does the brand sound like, feel like? How do we communicate that? We call that brand messaging. Mm. How do you communicate very succinctly what it is that sets you apart and why somebody would want to do business with you? And then on the flip side of that, we create the imagery around it because, you know, first impressions are everything, right? So when you see someone's picture, when you see what their materials look like, when you see them online, there is that's really important in how we perceive people. So that development includes everything from your photo shoot to your logo to your brand messaging, all of those that we call branding elements. And then in the final phase, it's brand display. We take all of that we've created to kind of package you and present you to the world. Now it's time to display that brand on all of your marketing channels, from your website to social channels, everything that you can possibly imagine, your email signature, all the little details, and infusing that brand into all of those marketing materials.
Right. And that's a daunting task. I mean, especially for, you know, a lot of us, myself included, like, that's the last thing we really want to think about, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like,
that's why we're here, Sam, to save you a whole lot of trouble.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm serious about that. Like, I want to find deals. I want to talk to investors. I want to, you know, make money. But the last thing I want to do is worry about, you know, logos and colors. I mean, some people like yourselves, thank goodness, love that stuff.
Yeah. But you want to find the right deals and the right people. And the brand is exactly what precedes you and allows you to do that.
When you've seen people develop a brand that attracts the wrong people, what are some of the things, you know, that you've gone in and said, hey, wait, like, you know, if they say I'm struggling with whatever the problem is, again, it's just maybe it's attracting the wrong people. What are some of those problems you've seen people run into in their branding message?
Well, the first one that we run into a lot is if you're the type that wants to buy and sell property, but you're getting bombarded by people who want to rent your property. That's one of the biggest ones that we see. And right. We found that it's messaging, like, and showing up in the wrong spots. That's one of the easier ones to address right off the bat. You know, we've had people come to us and they're like, you know, I don't rent. I'm not a landlord. I'm not in, but I'm, you know, but I buy properties. I buy houses or I buy light commercial and I flip it and that sort of thing. I don't want to deal with the tenancy. And, you know, how can we do that? We can change the messaging to be sure that it begins to reach the right people that are out there, because right. You want to be known however big your space is, you want to be known in that space as, you know, really, as somebody that can move fast, I would think would be very important. I know I vet deals. I've been an investor since 1994, bought my first piece of property in 1994, been buying and selling property ever since. I hope I never see the day I don't buy and sell property. I don't deal in heavy commercial, but I definitely deal in light commercial, strip mall centers, that sort of thing. You know, 1 to 6 units, 1 to 10 units, maybe at the biggest. But I don't mind dealing with the tenancy either, obviously, because I feel like that's part of the building, the scalability of it. But one of the things that we run into is people like, you know, hey, I don't want to deal with that. And yet I get called constantly and stuff. We can't stop them, but we can change the messaging. So you get called and getting on more to the bank. You're getting on more to the other people in the town that says, you know, well, Michael will buy your property, you know, that sort of thing. Right. So.
I think one of the coolest things we ever heard from one of our clients is that their brand helps them say no. It helps them define it so well that they feel like they don't have to be rude about saying no. It's defined and laid out there for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's Jacqueline. And just so well defined and laid out there for them that they don't, that it says no for them. And saving a lot of time and a lot of, you know, just running around.
As an investor, I wouldn't even know necessarily what to start on first. I know you said the first step is obviously define. And what was step two?
Develop.
Yep.
Right. Can you walk us through that phase? Like as you develop, like, I mean, there's, again, where do we put what, where, and when? I mean, those
okay.
are, yeah. Yep. Can you kind of walk us through how you think through that process?
Sure can. Okay. So I'll tell you how we do the development phase. So when you come in the define phase, we're learning who it is we're trying to reach, what kind of deals we're trying to get, and what it is that sets us apart that makes somebody want to do business with us.
Right.
So now we go in and develop that. The very first thing we do is the brand messaging. So in other words, things like your elevator pitch, we do it down to one sentence.
That's
like,
awesome.
Here's who I am. Here's who I help. Here's how it helps you. Right. And that starts there. And then we take a look at something we call signature sound bites, which are a series of bullet points at a glance, that Reader's Digest version of your brand, if you will. So for instance, if you're on somebody's website or social media page, and all you see is the series of five or six bullet points that really condenses that brand for them, that's really all you need to see. Right. The rest is great. If you can see the rest, it's great. But if you can encompass the meat of it into those bullet points, that's fantastic. And then, of course, the biography, which tells the story of you as a not just a professional, but as a human being, the personal side of that. That's a lot of where people go wrong, I think, is mm-hmm. they don't inject the personal
For sure.
side into things. And we're not talking deeply personal, but injecting that personal side really allows people to get to know who you are as a human, because we do business with people. And then from there, we start there, because that's the crux of everything. Mm-hmm. You've got to feel that brand and know this is your story. And then the rest of it is the visual parts of the brand, the photos of you, you know, your photo shoot and taking those photos, the logo, the brand colors, imagery that resonates really well with your brand and your customer base or your partners, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. That's exhaustive. I mean, in a good way, not exhausting. We'll clarify that word. That's
right,
exhaustive.
Right. Comprehensive is what we call it.
Yeah.
Comprehensive.
Comprehensive. No, it really is. And again, those are things, you know, that just for the rest of us, we kind of relegate to the back burner. I mean, do you guys help out with stuff like even LinkedIn profiles and you know,
oh, yeah.
your online presence there as well?
Absolutely.
Walk us through some of that. Like what are some mistakes you see people doing even on social platforms that you're like, wait, that's just not lining up with who you are?
I think the most important part is the authenticity of it and the consistency of it, right? And so you don't, because we know, I know even in my space that even insurance companies are going to look at your website. Like even your bankers are going to look at your website, maybe even your social media, things like that to get an idea of who you are. If it's not the same consistently across each one of those platforms, LinkedIn and even Facebook or something like that, then people see these disparaging things that automatically don't like right off the bat. And so I think that has to be very concise right across the board. And then back to like the messaging, like your signature sound bites and things like that are very important with your outreach. Because if you have, I assume that in any commercial investment, you're scouting out constantly, you're running the numbers. That's the easy part, right? To figuring out the numbers. Trying to get to somebody to sell it to you is different. And when you're soliciting off market opportunities and things like that, you want that message to be concise and quick to people, and something, and that's what we teach, and something that it catches the eye that looks so different. And I know in residential, you guys don't deal as much in residential, but I know in residential, I get postcards four, five, six a day wanting to buy my rental properties. Sure. You know, they all look the same. Like right. They all came from fortune builders or some guy like that, and told them, hey, this is the script, stick to the script and send a billion of them to get one guy to call you back. And it's because you don't stand out at all. Right.
Right.
And, you know, the higher you climb up that corporate ladder, that commercial ladder, you have more experience. Obviously, the less time you have to grab somebody's attention, right? Like, you got to have something that makes you different than the next guy. Then when they catch that shiny and that's different and they start looking at the rest of you, it's all got to be consistent. And right. we see a lot of consistency problems.
That's something, you know, that's a point I hadn't really given much thought to. We always give, you know, a lot of thought on this side of the table to, you know, brand awareness as it pertains to investors or other, you know, people in the space. We don't give much brand awareness thought to sellers. I think that's a key takeaway is, you know, because people do obviously research you online. Do I want to do business with this guy?
Right.
So if you're right, if you're not the same across all channels or if it's, you know, sparse at best, they might want to go with a guy that just has a prettier looking website and, you know, a few extra bullet points, and you could lose $1 million over a deal like that because you didn't brand it properly.
You didn't stand
right.
out.
Right.
Yeah, you
right.
didn't stand out.
Didn't
I mean, everything
that
we teach is how to stand out in your space and against your competition, which is prevalent everywhere. And we need that. We need that extra leg up every chance that you get.
And right. it all starts with defining, because the word investor is a big word, right?
Sure.
And it encompasses so much. And so the first question is, okay, what kind of investor are you? What are you investing in? What are you looking for? What kind of partners are you looking for? And so if you put that out there, that's a lot less work you're going to have to do. And the people that are seeking you can easily find you. It's kind of like that quick look, you know, mm-hmm. and you want people to be able to size you up and see, oh, that's what that person's about. That's worth talking to, right?
Right.
That's worth meeting with.
I had a piece, just for a perfect example, I had a piece that I was actually brokering, but the guy that owned it's a really good friend of mine. And we got two offers right at the same time to develop this commercial piece of property. And so we looked them up online. One of the people that were buying it, both of them were groups, didn't even have a website at all. The other one had a website to explain their stories. They even had link outs to some newspaper articles of things that they have done for development that it benefited the different communities that they had worked in. And that was the deal. That was the deal censure for that situation. And I didn't sure. even think of it. My friend that owned the property, he's like, well, I'm gonna look them up right now. And he looks them up. And when he found Integrity, he saw those links. He went out to those links and he saw where other towns had bought, you know, pump stations and stuff like that, that helped the community further down, then helped the city in their development down the road and donated it back and stuff like that. It's just a normal part of development, right? But it still was a deal censure because the other one just, we really didn't know who it was. They were so obscure. We, you know, the guy didn't want to mess with them. And,
right.
He wanted to know a little bit about who he was dealing with.
A few minutes of hyperlinking to a few newspaper articles.
You build that authenticity. Yeah.
And defining yourself really well. You know, the other mistake that I see people making in social media is not a good balance of professional and personal. They're either too much personal or they're too professional and nothing personal. And you want to see a little bit of that human being, you know, you want to be able to connect with them. Hey, I saw your kid just graduated from high school. Congratulations. Right.
Right.
And those little things help attach you to a person, because when you walk into a room, I would rather be greeted with a personal comment than, hey, how's real estate going? Or how's the branding business going? Right.
Sure.
Because that tells me that person doesn't know me beyond just the surface.
Right.
And if they say, well, how's your son enjoying college? Well, that's something different. It's like, oh, you, that's personal. That's going to make me warm up very quickly. So don't forget to inject a little bit of that personal in.
Right, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to jump into the final four here if we can, and we'll kind of break this down, you know, as it pertains to branding. Normally we ask this in direct real estate, but as it pertains to branding, if you were to take everything you guys know about branding and you were going to give one piece of advice to an investor, what's the one thing you would say, hey, you have to absolutely do this?
You know, for me, every time I get asked a question like this, I'm always like, be bolder. You know, I think that especially even as an investor, I was always, I've done good, but I look back and I think, man, I could have been a lot more bold on that. I could have been a lot more calculated, riskier at that, you know, and I should have. Because it all would have worked out. So I always say, every time somebody asks me that, be bolder.
Right. I gotcha. And Tanya, how would you answer that?
I'm going to go a little more ethereal on you. And I'm going to say, you know, a lot of times people will say, hey, make us a star because we do personal branding. And we say, we don't make stars, we unveil them. And I believe very strongly that there is a star inside of everyone. So in the moment that of doubt that we all as human beings have where we say, oh, people really aren't interested in what I have to offer. Why would so-and-so, that's this billionaire, want to connect with me and do a partnership, you know, or do a deal together? Don't forget, you have strengths and abilities that no one else has, and utilize those and use that point of differentiation.
That's awesome. For each of you, what's one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Well, I mean, I'm constantly digging. Like we just look for other opportunities to help people. Being a broker as well as a real estate investor, I empower everybody that works with me to also become investors. And so we push that very much. And then on the brand face side, we do the same thing for anybody that we help brand. It's not just about us coming up with a cool identifier for you and helping you define, develop, and display your brand. We want to see you be successful at it. So we push constantly for that.
For me, it would just be doing more things like having conversations with people like you. You know, that helps us stay on top of our game because we get to meet somebody else. We get to see how they think and be exposed to their audience and they to ours. And that widening that network constantly is a big part of business in general.
Right. No, that's awesome. We're going to go to question three, which is when it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
Well, I mean, it is about the human element, and we teach personal branding for a reason. Like it, you know, we've had people come to our seminars and they say before, all right, my business is much bigger than this. I can't really be the face of my business. I'm like, have you ever eaten at a Kentucky Fried Chicken? And they're always like, what? And I'm like, the Colonel, they're still drawing. They've got people playing the Colonel now on commercials. I'm like, the Colonel will always be alive. Are you kidding me? And so so it's always about the personal aspect of it, no matter how big the company is. But if it doesn't help the people on the street, like if your idea of it is to make all you can all you get and sit on your can, you're really not going to be successful. Like you have to give back. So like my company does things like Santa Claus events. We support ESP, which is a extra special people type of organization that helps adults and people with disabilities and stuff like that. We find that that is twice as fun. And those events that we do are twice as fun as the work that we do. And we love what we do.
And, you know, he can answer that for both of us, obviously, but I'm going to answer it a little bit more from a what. How do we give back to our client base?
Right. Yeah.
And we have a national network of agents and, you know, residential and commercial and investors all across the country. We have them in about 41 states. And we are connecting them whenever and wherever possible. If we see something, if somebody knows that, you know, our clients are actually properly vetted because their brands are fully developed or in development. So you know who you're dealing with all across the country, right? And so the ability to add that extra, and we don't take anything off the top. We don't take a cut of that. We actually just connect our clients together and keep feeding that business. And that's one way I think that we give back. And then the other way is recognizing them and writing articles about them and their success and what great people they are. Because honestly, Sam, we are the most fortunate and blessed people to have the clients that we have. They are absolutely incredible people, period. And we're just very blessed because of that.
That's fantastic. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
BrandFaceRealEstate.com. You can find everything you need there.
All right, there we go. We'll put that in the show notes, BrandFaceRealEstate.com. Tanya and Michael, thank you so much for your time today and coming on. This was absolutely my pleasure, and I certainly have learned a lot. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for having us, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.